hanging at the Golden Circle Sportsbook and Bar inside Treasure Island. It's Cofield and Company on ESPN Las Vegas and ESPN Reno.
It's Friday. There's sports on. It's a great time to be in a sportsbook. We are here at the Golden Circle Sportsbook and Bar at the Treasure Island. Come on down, hang out. The Mets are putting a beating on the Dodgers right now, 10-2 in the fifth, and that is upsetting me so much.
It is very sad, but I do want to welcome in Reno. Welcome in, Reno.
That's right. It is the Reno Hour.
In the same state, which I drove once, not knowing how long it was, and it took me like 4 days, but it was still good when I got there. It was fun.
Did you enjoy your time up there?
I did. I did a comedy show there at UNR.
Nice. Oh, on campus?
Yeah.
Nice.
The theater in there.
How'd that go?
That was good. It was a really long time ago. It was when the start where college campuses were starting to kind of like shy away from edgy humor or whatever. I walked a few people, but it wasn't, you know, it wasn't too bad.
When I worked at the paper a couple years ago, well, actually last year, I made a trip up to Reno for some state playoffs.
Okay. I had a good time there. It was actually, I went there twice. The second time I went there, it was snowing. It was beautiful. It was like, you know, there's like snow around. There's like a little creek that goes like kind of down by their, what they call their strip or whatever.
Yeah.
And there was like a snow all over like the rocks. It was really, actually really nice.
Yeah. I went, when I worked for Learfield, working with UNLV basketball and football, when I went up there, I think it was March or February this past basketball season, we went up there. There was snow on the ground. It was freezing. People are going down in tubes down the river.
Yeah.
I was like, what are you crazy people doing?
I know. You don't realize that how high the altitude is there where it actually gets pretty cold.
Oh, yeah. It's great there. I love it every time I go.
Yeah, it's fun.
All right, let's do it.
Battleborn Injury Lawyers presents The Big Four at Four. Number four.
You know, when you're known for being from a place and that place has a team in the playoffs in any sport and you attend games, normally you would wear something for that team, a hat, a shirt, a jersey, a hoodie, whatever. Apparently Travis Kelce does not.
Why?
Him and his lovely girlfriend Taylor Swift were at the Yankees Guardians game the other night. And Travis Kelce decided, you know what? I know I'm the face of Ohio right now, but I'm not going to wear any Guardians gear while I go watch the team and support the team against the Yankees.
Who cares?
You're okay with that? He is from Ohio.
No, I'm saying, was he wearing a Yankees jersey or something?
He was wearing nothing.
Okay.
He was just a rich
person. It wasn't like
person.
He was wearing like their rival's jersey.
He's just a rich person in a suite. Nobody knew who he was going for. As far as I knew, he had an ump shirt on underneath his jacket.
Dude, look, nobody has Kelce fatigue more than me, okay? And I love Jason, obviously, one of the best centers of all time, historic gentleman.
I hate saying it, but now that I see him out and about more often and hear him and I watch occasional clips or podcasts and stuff, I like Jason Kelce, and that really hurts me to say that.
Well, I got to be honest. I'm starting not to like him or Travis or any of this. I don't care anymore. Mom, get his mom off my TV. I'm over it.
Mama Kelce?
Dude, I'm over it.
What did she do to you?
And nothing. It's just overexposure. It's like after a while, Enter Sandman is not a great song anymore because you've heard Enter Sandman 500,000 times.
Yeah.
I'm sick of the Kelces, bro. Enough. I don't want to see him anymore. I don't care if he wears what jersey. By the way, not wearing a jersey to me, it doesn't mean anything, but whatever.
I think they touched a nerve.
Nah, it's just I get tired of things. You don't get tired of stuff? You ever hear the same song 500 times and you're like, dude, I'm over this?
Yes.
That's how I feel.
Griffin, how do you feel about this? I feel like where'd you play college football? In California, right?
Freshman year, University of Utah, and then finished up at Cal Poly in San Luis Obispo.
If you returned to Cal Poly to watch a game, would you be wearing one of their clothing?
I was not big enough or a good enough player to pull the move of showing up, going to see a game, being a former player, not wearing anything just because you're so well known because of your time there. So whenever I do go back to catch a game at my alma mater, I'm definitely going to be head to toe dripped out in Cal Poly gear to make sure they know I played there.
I feel like I'm in a twilight zone. Why does it matter? I can understand if he was wearing the opposite team, but if you're not wearing it, you have to wear something every time? I don't wear something every time I go to a Yankee game or an Eagles game or whatever.
Not even a hat? No, that's a lie, because you wear a hat every day.
Well, I wear a hat as part of my outfit, so yeah. I'm not gonna wear another team's hat. But I mean, but I don't wear a jersey every day.
No, that's fair.
I mean, I'm not in Little League. What are we doing? I just don't get it.
All right, three.
Number three.
The last great Bears quarterback, he did something that you shouldn't do, and it's...
What did Mitch Trubisky do now?
Whoa. Mitch Trubisky is a god in Pittsburgh and North Carolina.
Good.
Y'all can keep him.
But no. So Jay Cutler, he decided to have some adult beverages, and he decided to drive home.
So dumb.
That is one of the dumbest things you can do, especially in this day and age where there are many different ways that you can get from point A to point B.
It's dumb because he's rich. I'm not saying you should do it anyway, but if you're a rich guy and you're doing it, I mean, come on, man.
Exactly.
Uber to you is what, nothing? I mean, who cares?
Right, and that's the worst thing is, I mean, how much could an Uber possibly be for him?
I don't know, but not much.
Yeah, you got to be
safe. You would think he has a driver of some kind.
He's been out of the league for a while. He probably doesn't have driver money.
You don't think he has driver money?
Unless he got it from his ex-wife.
Hey, Griffin, look how much Jay Cutler made in his career, if you can.
He made enough to where when he did leave his wife, he told her, go get a job. She was coming after his money. All right, Jay Cutler's got funds. I've been sitting here quietly listening to you guys talk mess on this man's name. This was a dumb mistake on his part. But he's also not the last great Bears quarterback. All right, let's get that on the record.
Who is?
Who is? What do you mean the last? We got multiple on the way. We got one currently sitting in our position with Caleb Williams.
Multiple on the way. That means Caleb Williams is not going to be great for long, or you think he's going to ship off?
Caleb Williams can't play until his late 50s. All right, somebody's going to have to come after him.
So right now, Caleb Williams is the last great Bears quarterback.
The latest Bears quarterback.
You know, Jay Cutler was on this show for a while, like one of those Real Housewives or something like that.
I think that was with his wife, wasn't it?
Yeah. That's why when you said they were getting divorced, she probably has some money too.
Oh, I think she's got more money than he does
now. You think so?
Isn't she married to like some rich dude?
I don't know.
I thought so. I don't know.
I always say things and I have no idea what the answer is. So
yeah, and I try not to involve myself in other people's love.
Moral
lives.
Of the story is, get a driver, dude.
Yeah, like, don't drink and drive. First of all, it's stupid. Second of all, there are so many different ways that you can get around in today's age. All right, number two.
Number two.
The worst team in baseball is now possibly up for sale. White Sox, Jerry Reinsdorf.
Great owner, by the way.
Active discussions to sell the White Sox. I feel like this is probably not a good time to sell. Don't you normally sell high, buy low?
I'll tell you what. Well, first of all, I think it's fourth biggest market in the country.
Very large.
So it's a great team. Whether or not you – I mean, it's not a great team right now. Obviously, it's terrible. But franchise-wise, you have an amazing city to market to. So, I mean, I don't see why you wouldn't want to buy it. I mean, maybe I'd change your uniforms or something. But I was thinking about this. What if we convince them to come here instead of the A's? Would you rather have the White Sox?
Most likely.
Do their uniforms match the Raiders better?
Oh, 100%.
You know? It doesn't look like a booger.
Dude, I can't stand that. I just don't – I'm also not a big fan of the color yellow.
Yeah, well, green and yellow both suck, so
– yeah, although the A's were the first team I ever played for in Little League Baseball.
Besides Eagles green. Oh, were they really? Me too, I think. I was on an A's team at some point. I don't remember if that was the first one. But
I played for the A's and the Royals. I only played 2 years.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know, man. I feel like that's a good get, though. I kind of like when Steve Ballmer bought the Clippers. They were a crappy franchise, but you're in L.A.
Yeah, and he's turning things around. Now they got the Intuit Dome.
Yeah, if I'm a billionaire and I'm looking for a baseball team, I'm going to Chicago.
So do you think this is just something to, you know, kind of just get it out there? Like, hey, let me just see. I'm not necessarily actually going to try to sell it, but let me just see what people could be offering. Or do you think this could actually turn into something legitimate after – him watching his team lose over 120
games. I think
games.
It's legit because, again, he's in a huge market, and that means a lot of pressure that comes with it as well. Like, if you're in the Northeast or L.A., whatever, you're going to have a lot of coverage. So I feel like he's got a lot of pressure on him, and he's terrible. He doesn't know how to, you know, what's he going to do now? He has no idea how to rebuild or do anything. So I feel like he's cutting his losses, and he's serious about it.
And it's crazy to me that now this could possibly just be, like, something he just thought of. But when you go back and look at this season, they had over 120 losses.
Yeah.
And I was really hoping that they would get the least amount of wins in the modern era. Unfortunately, that didn't happen.
Sad. Who has the most? Was the Orioles that one year where they lost 20 in a row or something?
No, I think it's like the 1917 Phillies or something like that. They had like 36 wins.
That's pretty good.
But so they didn't make any – they didn't move any of their big talent like everyone thought they would at the trade deadline. Instead, they just wrote it out. Obviously, it didn't do anything for them. Does he – like, is this team going to be even a little bit better next year, or could this be what we're looking at for the next year, 2 years?
Well, you never know. But, again, if you're going to buy the team, you're not expecting them to be good right away anyway. I would just buy them. If I'm him, I'd get rid of it. And if I had the money, I'd buy it. Because I feel like, you know, a couple years from now, you could change everything. You can change everything.
Okay, so if you're Greg, the new buyer,
yeah,
new owner of the White Sox,
yes,
are you cleaning house or are you giving it a year to see how people work and then decide what you want to do?
Well, I'm going to find myself a GM first, and then I'm going to ask him. That's what I'm going to do. I'm not going to be Jerry Jones about it.
You're not taking the hands-on approach?
I mean, I could probably use a facelift, but no. Other than that, no, I don't want to be Jerry Jones.
It's also good that you're not 82.
Yeah, well, I don't think I'll make it that long. So good for him.
I don't think I will either. Number one.
Number one.
We kind of got an update on the A's. New stadium, as most of you know. If you don't, new news. Tropicana is no longer there.
I know, that's sad.
It got imploded, what was that, a week or two ago?
Yeah.
Do you have many memories in that hotel?
Just Vegas in general. Like, I wasn't really, you know, when they knocked down a few of them, I was kind of like, whatever. But Tropicana to me is one that I wish they would have stayed. Like, even the Riviera, I was like, whatever. But the Tropicana, I don't know.
I don't know if I've ever actually been inside of the Tropicana other than, like, right next to the door. Like, I know I've never stayed there, but I don't think I've never gambled there. Yeah. I don't think I've ever, like, actually gone in there for purpose.
Yeah, I used to park there for free and walk places a lot. I know that.
I do that at the Oreo.
Yeah, that's a good one, too, now. That's the next closest one.
Yeah, and on that end of the strip, I think it might be the only one for free parking.
Great elevators at the Oreo, too.
If you've never been inside them and you like to live life on the edge, go ahead and take a ride in those elevators.
It's like, you ever see that movie Saw?
Of course. Wait, which one? There's like nine of them.
Well, it looks like a set from one of those from one of those movies.
Yeah, it's a little rough. We'll go over the A Stadium a little bit later in the show. But we are live here at the Golden Circle Sportsbook and Bar inside the Treasure Island. Come on down and hang out. Parking is always free. And you can come get free tickets for UNLV football against Boise State next week. You're listening to Cofield & Company on ESPN Las Vegas.
Live from the Golden Circle Sportsbook and Bar, Risk Supervisor at the Treasure Island Sportsbook, Patrick Berbert, joins Cofield & Company on ESPN Las Vegas and ESPN Reno.
Welcome in, everybody. Cofield & Company, Danny, Greg here. We are at the Golden Circle Sportsbook and Bar. Welcome in again, Reno. Glad you can join us, friends from the north. And we are joined by Patrick Berbert. How are you, Patrick?
I'm doing wonderful. How about yourself?
Doing great. You know, sports are on. Dodgers trying to make a comeback against the Mets. I'm hoping the Dodgers win.
I mean, that's what everybody's hoping. They want to see Ohtani versus Judge in the World Series. So.
Oh, I don't care about that. I'm just anti-Mets.
Danny has his own affiliations. He doesn't care about anybody else. Patrick, I want to ask you about the game last night because you're obviously a Yankees fan. I'm a Yankees fan. Why does it seem like if they lost the game, they got blown out. Let's say they got blown out from the beginning of the game, right? Like, just, we're losing the whole game. They don't do that, though, right? They always have to get up a lead, or they come back, take a lead, and then they have to wind up losing the game. How does that affect the numbers going forward, and how are you looking at the series now that they blew that game?
You're kind of like looking at it the same way. It's the Yankees are going to be the favorite all along. Even if you see this tied up 2-2 after tonight, the Yankees are still going to be the favorite for the series because they get those final two home games as well. Going up 2-0 in the series was really big. But it was really interesting in that game last night. It almost kind of felt like Aaron Boone punted when he brought in Hamilton and Mizer when they were down one run. You know, you're still in the game. You got to trust your bats and whatnot. So it was a little weird what happened last night. And then obviously Judge finally had his big postseason moment. He came through. Stan followed up right behind him. And then, you know, what more can you ask for in the ninth inning? Luke Weaver coming in and couldn't get it done. But you got to move on past this and got a good matchup going today. Gavin Williams on the mound tonight. He's really struggled, especially at home this year. I believe he has a 6.55 ERA at home. Wow. So the Yankees really have to take advantage of that and have their bats wake up tonight.
Sounds like the big three all might hit a home run today.
I would love that.
I would like everyone in the lineup to hit a home run today.
Well, let's not get crazy. Let's be realistic.
I wanted to take away the DH and the pitcher come in, get a hit a home run, and then take put the DH back in and him hit a home run too.
That'd be great. I loved it watching Rockies games back in the day when Mike Hampton would just hit home run after home run. I was like, what is going on? This is the greatest thing. We need more of that. More pitcher home runs. It'd be great. So, Patrick, we are nearing the end of each of the championship series. What has the action been like for futures in terms of World Series winner? Are you starting to see that ramp up more and more, or do people already kind of have theirs in and you're getting a little action, but most of it's already in?
Yeah, it's mostly just like game to game now bets. Most of the people put in their future bets because they like seeing those extra zeros at the end of their number, where now you have the two favorites, the Dodgers and the Yankees, and Dodgers are minus money, Yankees are about plus 140. So they're not really getting that value there. So they're looking at it game to game more so now. And most of the money come through the counter. It's the favorites and the overs right now.
Well, we do like overs. I like runs. I don't know about you, Greg.
I love runs. I just like the Yankees to win. I actually could be 1-0. I don't really care. But I want them to win. So you're pretty confident still in the Yankees going forward? Or did last night kind of, you know, change your mind?
After I had some time to reflect on things,
I
still like the Yankees going forward. Right now, They're still sitting minus 60 for the series. If they were to lose tonight, they've got Rodon going tomorrow, then they'll have Cole lined up for Game 6, which is huge. So.
And Rodon actually was surprisingly good in the playoffs so far, so we'll see what happens there. Let's go to some college football. I know Danny loves some college football. Big game, Alabama-Tennessee. What are you looking at there?
Yeah, we're sitting Alabama 3 on that game on the road. It's going to be a great game. You know, Alabama, they had their marquee win against Georgia a few weeks back, and they've struggled really bad since. So it's going to be interesting to see how they can respond to those two, the loss that they had and then squeaking out a win last week. So I'm going to see how they respond out in Tennessee this weekend. You know, Tennessee, they have a really good draft prospect behind quarterback in Nico Amoliva. So I think it's going to be a really good game. I think you might see some point score on the board this week because the Alabama defense isn't the Alabama the defense of the past that we've been seeing as well.
Danny loves the over.
And with Alabama, I'm looking at their schedule now. They're kind of going into a gauntlet these next 3 weeks. They're at Tennessee, home to Missouri, and then at LSU. Realistically, can this Alabama team – can they make the playoffs if they were to lose two more games?
If they were going to lose two more games, that's going to be hard to say. I think they're really going to have to go 2-1 in this stretch. And then if they were to, like, lose in the SEC championship game with that extra loss, I think they'd still be in because they got into the SEC championship game. But, you know, they were able to replace – I mean, replacing Nick Saban is really, really hard. Greatest football coach of my time, if not the greatest of all time. But to be able to bring in Kalen DeBoer, who's won at every level in every school that he's been at, I wouldn't be more – if I was an Alabama fan, I wouldn't want anybody else leading my team right now than him.
Would it be crazy to If Missouri can pull the upset, would it be crazy to say that they could potentially be coming out of the West for the SEC? And if Alabama's not challenging for the SEC championship, who knows? Maybe that's a two-loss team and they're out?
Yeah, you're talking about Missouri challenging to get in?
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know where to go with that. I was really high on Missouri to start the year, and they've just been a letdown, like, week after week, just, like, disappointment. I don't know if they were supposed to have a really, really good defense this year and shut down all their opponents, but their defense has looked suspect all year long, and their offense really hasn't got chemistry going together well. I think you'll have more of an answer after this week's game against Auburn. They're only sitting a 4-point favorite at home against Auburn, and Auburn hasn't looked good at all. So I think that's just a telltale sign that this Missouri team that we all, probably most of us, projected to be in the college football playoff isn't playing up to college football playoff expectations. So I'm gonna leave them out for right now.
Talking to Patrick Berbert, the risk supervisor here over at Golden Circle Sportsbook at Treasure Island. Try the chicken salad. It's amazing. Let's go to the NFL real quick. I want to talk a little bit about some of these games coming up. Big one, obviously, Chiefs 49ers. Niners actually favored in this game, which I was a little surprised because the Niners haven't really looked that great, but neither, I guess, have the Chiefs. But the Chiefs have won, find a way to win. How are you looking at this game?
Yeah, 49ers are sitting one here, and it is because the game is in San Francisco. If this game was on a neutral field, Chiefs would be a small favorite, and you're probably looking at up to, like, Chiefs minus four if the Chiefs were home for this game. But, you know, like you said, the Chiefs, they're finding ways to win right now. Patrick Mahomes hasn't really played great football at all like we're used to seeing from him. And, you know, a lot of that has to do because he's dealt with a lot of injuries on the offensive side of the ball, whether it be running back or wide receivers. Just week after week, something else is happening. Travis Kelce is not the Travis Kelce of the past that we really know. So I need to see them get him more involved. But the Chiefs defense is also playing great defense like they did last year. They had a great defense that brought them through the playoffs. And now they're playing really good defense again to keep them into games. And what's really interesting is this 49ers defense has taken a huge step back. So even though the Chiefs offense hasn't gotten fully rolling, I think they're still going to be able to do enough against the 49ers defense to be able to put some points on them, put some points on them this week.
Yeah, this isn't the 49ers team, both offense and defense, that we're used to seeing because they've struggled. They're weirdly 3-3. I mean, we're used to seeing them finishing off the season with 3-4 losses total, and they're 3-3 after 6 weeks, and two of their losses, they had double-digit leads in the fourth quarter. Can this San Francisco team, if they stay on this trajectory and they don't get better, because they still have, you know, they play the Cowboys, they're at the Buccaneers, they still have the Seahawks again, the Packers, the Bills. Is this a team that can compete for a championship, or do they need to seriously turn things around?
Absolutely, they could compete for a championship, especially because at the head coach position, they have a guy named Kyle Shanahan, who's just a genius on the offensive side of things.
Yeah, it's like plug and play. You put anybody in there, basically.
Absolutely. Like, I'm not the biggest fan of Brock Purdy. I think he's really overrated to where a lot of people say he is, and you can fit a lot of different quarterbacks in there that will fit well into that system. And I know Kyle Shanahan has had his moments in the playoffs where he chokes in big situations and whatnot, but he's going to win games to get there as well. And, you know, Brandon Ayuk, he missed a lot of the offseason. Things are seem to get a little bit better on that side of the ball now with him finding that chemistry with Purdy. It seems to be whoever the fill-in at running back is doing their thing this year. You had Jordan Mason fill in, and then the rookie last week had a good week as well. And then George Kittle is back from an injury now. Debo Samuel seems to be playing better as well. So that offense is going to be rolling the rest of the way. Really, the main question is on the defense side of the ball. They've changed defensive coordinators, and their defense really in the secondary isn't living up to the expectations that they were supposed to be.
Texans, Packers. Now, the Texans coming in last year, obviously, they were super hot. Stroud was, you know, up-and-coming quarterback. They looked great. Haven't looked as great this year. Kind of the same thing as the Packers. They had Jordan Love last year. Great rookie season. Came in this year. Didn't look as great. Or, I mean, got injured, whatever. And then the Packers have been up and down. Packers favorite in this game, though. How are you looking at this one?
Yeah, Packers are favorite at home here. Obviously, Jordan Love had that injury to start the year. He was a little rusty when he first came back, but he's really turned things around since. And, you know, they gave him that big contract in the offseason because they believed he was their future. And the last few weeks, he has shown that he's still their future there. There's a lot of young talent on that team. He spreads the ball around well. They've got some good pieces on the defensive side of the ball, and Matt LaFleur is another great coach. He seems to work well with whoever he has, even when Malik Willis filled in for those couple weeks. Malik Willis was playing a lot better football,
yeah,
too.
He does. Actually, that's a good point.
But on the Texan side, I'm a huge C.J. Stroud fan. I really enjoy watching what D'Amico Ryans did with that offense and just the team in general. You know, he was a defensive-minded coach, and a lot of concern was how a defensive-minded coach would work with that offense with all those pieces they brought in. But he's doing really good things over there, and I think that's the game of the week based on how the teams are playing right now.
All right, well, he is Patrick Berbert, risk manager here at the Golden Circle Sportsbook and Bar. We appreciate you taking your time out to come visit us, Patrick.
Absolutely. Thanks for having me.
Hey, real quick, Yankees tonight, yes or no?
Absolutely.
Yeah, baby. There we go.
Oh, boy, I'm here with two Yankees fans. Anyways,
certified
come on
by
down.
Patrick.
Come on down, hang out. When we come back, what is Brady going to do going forward?
Hanging at the Golden Circle Sportsbook and Bar inside Treasure Island, it's Cofield and Company. On ESPN Las Vegas and ESPN Reno.
That's right. We are hanging out down here, Treasure Island. Parking's always free. Plenty of games on. Plenty of TVs, and they have games on. There's actually a college football game underway, Florida State and Duke. Florida State's leading that one 3-0. My, how Florida State dropped so fast this season.
You mean 1-5 is bad?
Yeah, I think so.
Okay. Now I know.
But Mets are still putting a beating on the Dodgers. It's not as bad as it was, but 11-6, and I believe they're heading to the 7th.
Tell you what, though, Dodgers keep hitting home runs, and it keeps getting closer and closer as it goes along. So.
I feel like that's all they need to do.
I don't think this is over.
No, somebody's going to hit a grand slam.
At some point, right?
Yeah, it has to be done. So right before break, kind of teased it just a little bit. Tom Brady, he was approved as owner a couple days ago, part owner of the Las Vegas Raiders. But he also gets paid millions and millions and millions of dollars to broadcast for Fox. He is their number one. He's on their number one broadcast team. And now becoming an owner, he can't really do anything except talk during the game.
It's really weird because if you ever listen to a broadcast, they always – the biggest part of the broadcast is always where they're like, you know, oh, we had a chance to talk to, you know, Belichick this week, and he said this and that about the game as they're going along in the game. He can't even do that because he can't even have a meeting with the coaches.
Nope.
But his crew can go have a meeting with the coaches and then come back and tell him, they said, which to me is hilarious because then – as I was talking to JVT yesterday, he said that Brady can't talk about the officiating. He can't talk about the – I mean, he can't really criticize certain people now.
No, he can't criticize players or the officiating.
I mean, what's he going to do?
He can't be in any other team's facilities. So if the game is in Kansas City, he can't go watch Kansas City practice at their facility.
I mean, it's ridiculous.
So what's he going to do, fly in Saturday nights, call the game, and fly out? And he's going to get paid millions of dollars. And I understand, on the flip side, he played this game for 20 years. He's one of, if not the best players to ever play this game, best quarterback, all the Super Bowls, yada, yada. He knows the game. I understand that. But he's also got to be able to have conversations with coaches, with players, go attend practices and meetings and stuff.
Dude, I don't think – and that's the thing, too, is I don't think people realize – when you say millions and millions, which you're right, I don't think people realize how many millions.
No, I don't think so. We're not talking two.
No. Brady got paid $375 to be exact. $375 million over 10 years he's getting paid.
Yeah, so he's making $37.5
million. Almost $40 million a year, and he can't even go talk to the coaches.
Could you imagine getting paid almost $40 million a year to show up into a town for – 8 hours and talk for 3.5 hours, and that is all you got to do.
I can't imagine getting paid for sports at all, much less $375 million over 10 years. Like, it's ridiculous. I just don't understand how he's getting that much money and not able to do his job.
I think he needs to end one of them. What was that, Griffin?
I was just going to say, they're paying him all that money to be bad at broadcasting. That's crazy. Like, he's not very good at it, and now he's having to balance it while also being the owner of the Raiders. It's like he retired, and he's just like, how else can I make sure I'm the biggest thing going on in the sport of football? It's cringy.
I can't wait for – maybe it'll happen this weekend. Kevin Burkhart, his partner – going to say, oh, we heard this in the meeting, and Tom Brady's going to say, oh, really? Can you tell me more?
You know what? They're probably going to avoid that, though. He's just going to bring it up as a stuff that they know and not say where they got it from, I think. Because then it's going to cause too many issues with, you know,
having to say where they
heard it. It's really dumb.
I think he should have to end one of them.
How nuts is Fox going right now? I mean, they have to be tearing their hair out of their head if they have
it. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. All that money, and he literally can't do the job except be in the booth.
How long do you think he lasts in the booth?
I think he's going to be there for another 2 years.
Griffin?
I'd say at the end of the season, he pulls his hair out. He says, I can't do this. I suck at the broadcasting. Raiders won't let me do the job well. And he'll be done after one.
All right, we'll be back. Golden Circle.
Now back to Cofield and Company, live at the Golden Circle Sportsbook and Bar inside Treasure Island on ESPN Las Vegas. And ESPN Sports Reno.
We know this is usually the Eye on Sports Gambling segment. However, we just had to do a little bit of a switcheroo. But that's all right. We are down here at the Golden Circle Sportsbook and Bar. Come on down, hang out. There are plenty of TVs on. There are games being played. We also have some great giveaways, including we have multiple four packs of tickets to UNLV versus Boise State next Friday, Nevada Day. That game is going to be very exciting, and it is it's one that the Rebels are going to need as many fans to get out there, support them. It is a very tough game. Got the favorite to win the Heisman candidate coming in, Ashton Jeanty.
Dude, that guy.
He runs a lot.
He does run a lot. Very good at it.
Yes.
And we were just talking to somebody actually that came over here that was talking to us, you know, off air. That defense is going to have to be ready for UNLV, man, because this dude, like, I feel like they're going to have to put up points early.
Yes. I think with how good Ashton Jeanty is, UNLV will need to have their best game in their run defense, and they will need to put up points because Jeanty will get his. He is the type of guy who you're not going to hold to 50 rushing yards. He's going to get his. We saw it. Now, I know this is a new defense, but we saw it last year in the conference championship game. He went for over 100 yards. So UNLV will need to step up, and I believe right now Jeanty is averaging somewhere around like 190 yards a game. Like, the guy's insane.
It's crazy, dude.
He's already got, I think his number's at 1,200 yards and 17 touchdowns. And he's played the equivalent of 5 games. They've played 6, but he's taken off the second half in 2 of his 6 games.
Yeah, that's nuts.
The guy's a freak. We'll do a giveaway right now. It's 702-364-1100. We're going to do caller number 6. You are going to get a 2-foot classic sub from Porta Subs. There will be a physical coupon you'll need to pick up at the station. Unfortunately, can't today. Front desk is closed. But on Monday, you can pick it up. Once again, 2-foot classic sub from Porta Subs. Call Griffin, caller number 6 at 364-1100.
You can't just leave it under the mat for him or something?
I don't think we can do that.
Let me ask you this.
Yes.
So the Rebels.
Yes.
Attendance record, 1986.
Okay.
32,207 people.
Okay.
Every single person I know is going to this Boise State UNLV game.
I'll be there.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Everybody I know, like everyone, even people I know that, like, I would never think we're going to a football game, I'm talking to them and they're going to this game. I'm actually going. I haven't been to a UNLV game since you needed a 4-wheel drive to drive out of Sam Boyd Stadium in the parking lot. Okay. So what are the chances you think that they – break the record, their attendance record? Because, I mean, they're going to be at a stadium that can actually hold it.
I think there is a very good chance.
Think so?
I think a very good chance because, if I'm not mistaken, that is also homecoming night.
Oh, wow.
It is against a team that they will most likely see in the conference championship game. As we have mentioned, a Heisman Trophy candidate. And they have opened up extra seating for this game.
Really?
Yep. Wow. Against Syracuse, I believe they had just over 31,000, so they were close.
Wow.
I think they can do it in this game.
Yeah, that'd be cool. I mean, they have to eventually. This season it's going to happen, right?
Can they get 35? Is that too high of a bar? Remember, they had 31 against Syracuse. Can they get 35?
I'm going to say they probably can, because especially if they win their next, like if they win and then go into this game, you know what I mean?
Yeah, they win tomorrow.
Right, they
Oregon
win tomorrow
State.
And they go into the next game, you know, at their back, quote unquote. And also the destination city. So if you're in Boise, which isn't that far away, and you want to come down, we know people, even though we work with, go to Boise all the time. You know?
Oh, yeah. So, all the time.
Yeah. So
and it's what, an hour and a half away or something like that? 2 hours?
Well, flying.
Yeah, flying.
Yeah, yeah. So, yeah, I mean, I think that's an easy trip for people, too. So there might be a lot of Boise people here. So, yeah, I think that's a high number. And, I mean, you would think it's not that high of a number, but it's never happened. So,
right.
You know, but, yeah, they've been close. So I think, yeah, it's definitely going to happen eventually.
But this is also a season that we have never seen them play, or at least they haven't in 40 years. Like, with a win tomorrow against Oregon State, they are bowl eligible.
Yeah, dude,
it's still October.
I used to go to Rebels games, football, just to drink and, you know, talk to chicks.
Oh, yeah, tailgating?
Yeah, whatever. Never thought about the game at all. You know, it wasn't even a thought in my mind that there was even a football game going on because it was, you know, they were terrible back then. Now, I'm actually looking for, like, I was mad. I was, like, so mad at the bar during that Syracuse game when they lost. Like, normally I wouldn't care, you know? Like, now
right.
I'm so into it now. So, I mean, it's such a great thing for the city, man, and I hope it continues, and I hope they win, like, every game.
Yeah, absolutely. As a credentialed media member that day, I couldn't cheer because I was in the –
You were actually in the room?
Yeah, I was in media box. But as a two-time alum, I support them every game, and I hope they win every game.
Dude, I had to go watch the Raiders use one of our press, you know, media credentials, obviously.
Right.
And so I'm in the press box, but I'm only there to watch the Eagles play the Raiders. Okay, I'm not going to lie. I probably shouldn't say that out loud, but I used it just to go watch the Eagles.
No, that makes sense. I would do it, 2 years when the Cowboys come?
You're supposed to, you know, actually have a reason to be there.
Yeah.
But so I'm sitting there, and I'm watching. They come over the thing every once in a while. It's like, you know, please remember, keep quiet in the press box. And I'm watching, dude. I'm watching Derek Carr. I think he completed 94% of his passes that game. It was like a record against the Eagles.
You're about to throw a chair.
I was sitting there like I almost had to hold my breath so I turned blue so I didn't say anything because I wanted me to like scream so bad. But like that was the only reason I was in there, so I had to be quiet. You know, I couldn't just – so I went over and I got some like free buffet food or whatever they had in the area, and then came back and calmed down a little bit. But
you know what helps me calm down?
Philly cheesesteaks?
Although they are good – and I'm trying to convince my fiance to get some for dinner tonight. Salmon piccata calms me down.
Really?
Salmon piccata is the dinner special today at Oasis Bar and Grill. They're running that with some angel hair pasta and some broccoli for just $16.95.
Dude, Oasis is dope.
I've never been.
I've been there. Well, I used to live right by one. There used to be another one, too. I'm not sure if it's still there. It was like up more... on the 215. But anyways, the one over by Decatur and Trop is the one that I usually think of. And, man, the drinks there are always cheap or, you know, cheaper than other places. The food is just phenomenal. It's like when you go to a bar, you're like, oh, that bar has great food. This is that kind of bar, you know.
Okay.
And I've always – I don't know if we should say that. I've always had luck with the ladies at Oasis, too.
Oh, there you go.
I mean, I'm not saying the people working there, but, like, I've always, like
– Yeah.
Somehow or another had a social situation where I'm like, hey, and then you meet people there.
Nice. So you go in for a good meal.
Good meal.
And then you meet some good people.
There you go.
Sounds like a great time.
It is. It's a great place.
Have you ever had salmon piccata?
I've had chicken piccata. I've actually made it.
Okay. Really?
Yeah.
All right. How did this one turn out? Because the last time you told me about something you made, you said it would be the greatest thing I'd ever eat, but you would never make it for me.
What was it?
It was chicken parm.
Yeah, you see, I have a chicken parm. It's kind of like a derivative of chicken parm. What I do is I make great chicken parm, don't get me wrong, but it gets boring having the same thing all the time. So
okay.
I make like these crusted chicken cutlets, and then I put this kind of like chicken parm where you put sauce on it, except for I use this like urban garlic sauce. And then you put the mozzarella on there, and then you heat it up in the oven. I'm telling you, bro. It's the most amazing. You will be. You know what? I'm going to make it just because. The reason I said I wouldn't make it is because I know I won't. Like, even if I tell you I will, I wound up not doing it. So I don't want to be that guy. But I'm going to do it. I'm going to make it for you.
All right. Well, you might have to bring in a little bit of extra because I know Mr. Cofield is going to want some.
Yeah, he gets none.
Ooh.
First of all, how are we all three going to see each other at the same time? Because if we're all in the same room, one of us isn't going to be there.
Yeah, that's probably true.
You know?
I don't know. Maybe next time I see you guys out on the same remote, I'll just show up.
I have a feeling that like he wouldn't eat it for some reason anyway.
No, he definitely would.
You think so?
100%. Especially right. Since you're saying it's the best you'll have.
Well, I'll bring some for Steve.
100% he'll eat it.
But all I'm saying is it'll probably be a different day because we don't all usually three see each other at the same time.
Yeah, we'll figure that out. Yeah. Those are minor details.
Yeah. Maybe I'll invite you guys over.
All right.
You can have some.
Because you're not hotel living anymore, are you?
I know. I ruined it. No. I live in a house now. Stupid.
Do you miss the hotel life?
Sometimes.
What's up, Griff?
Mind if I interject here? Hey, Greg, why are you going back and forth with Tyreek Hill over Jay Cutler on Twitter?
Oh, hey, dude. Because he's like calling out. He's like, yeah, he's calling the media out. Yeah, okay, fine. He's calling the media out. He's like, hey. How come nobody's talking about Jay Cutler? I'm like, first of all, he's not even in the league right now. Because obviously he's comparing it to himself when it was a big story when he got dragged out of a car a couple weeks ago. Yeah, you're a starting wide receiver for the Dolphins, bro. We're talking about a guy who's on a reality show before he even played football last time. Nobody talks about Jay Cutler. He's not even a news story. So, like, why would he? And he is in the news. So, first of all, he is in the news. Yeah. Second of all, it's not as big a story. He's not currently a starting player. So that's all I wrote. I was like, dude, what? Number one, and then I put number two.
So I found his original tweet. Did you comment it or did you quote tweet it?
I think I quote tweeted it.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
He didn't respond, did he?
I don't know. Maybe he did.
Not yet.
Is that what you're saying? Did he?
Not yet. But something like that, as spicy as Greg's response was, it's only a matter of time.
I mean, maybe. Sometimes people get scared. Tyreek could be scared. You don't know. People get scared.
I really hope he responds. I like it when athletes or celebrities of some sort respond to
I
it.
Hope he hits me up from a burner like Kevin Durant
or something. That'd be great.
It's like some other guy like, yeah man, you don't even know Tyreek, he's like a really good guy or something. It's like him.
If that happens, you have to screenshot it and set it as your what's the little, is it a banner at the top of
like
Twitter,
like the pin
banner
tweet photo or whatever it is.
Yeah,
I don't know what they call it now. It's like one of Elon's dumps or something they call it. I don't know what they call it now. But whatever, it used to be like a pin tweet. Yeah,
let's get the hashtag started. Stop being afraid of Greg Tyreek. Yeah. It'd be a long hashtag, but that's going to be the
Tyreek
one we start.
Scared. How about that? Tyreek scared.
Ooh, that's a good one.
There you go.
Salerno right, versus
let's
Hill.
Get that trending.
Hey, man. All I'm saying, you know, just pointing out points.
And now you got to make a burner account under Griage.
I should actually do
to
that.
To go after him, and every time Tyreek says something, you just.
Like, you don't even know Greg, dude. He's a good dude.
Yeah, say that and then just post a picture. Be like, have you seen my artwork? See
yeah.
See what happens.
This comment only comes around once every 80,000 years. By the way, you're a jerk.
Do it.
I will. If he responds, he's not going to respond, though.
All right, so as we have talked about, UNLV next week, Boise State. This week, though, Oregon State.
Yeah.
We're going to talk to Cofield probably in about half hour, 45 minutes or so. He is currently up in Corvallis getting ready for tomorrow's game. Can I get a prediction from you, or do you want to save it for Cofield?
Nah, I'll tell you now.
All right, what is it?
You want an actual score prediction?
Yeah. Well, give me your winner or loser, and then give me your score prediction.
Going UNLV
okay.
All the way.
Okay.
41-21.
41-21. Yeah. All right, so you got a high-power offense. Defense is going to hold them low.
I think that dude's going to rush for three touchdowns, but that's it. They're not
going
to do anything else. Whoever, I forget now, but whatever.
Oh, no, are you talking Boise State?
No, talking about on Utah.
On Utah?
Yeah.
UNLV.
Yeah, UNLV, Utah, whatever. Whoever you just said.
We are live
here
at the Golden Circle. We're Golden Circle Sportsbook and Bar. When we come back, we're going to be joined by Eric Lampkins, who covers the Rams.